Hello and welcome to Leaning Into Light's featured interview for January 2019. This is one of our free monthly recordings to support you, our listeners, to lean into light. And what does leaning into light mean? It means choosing to recover from pain, from grief, from despair, from loneliness, from all those things, to joy, to optimism, to hope, to feeling well. And we all have to do that a lot in life. So this is one of our gifts to share with you to help you lean into light. Grab a pen, grab some paper. You can pause the recording if you need to and take notes. And welcome. We're so glad you're here. I'm Jessica Rios, by the way. I'm the founder of Leaning Into Light. Hello, hello. So I would like to introduce our guest for today, and I'm so excited. My heart just like fluffed up and got really excited. And I want to mention, so first let's just say hi. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jess.
So our guest for today is Jenny Griffo. And Jenny, by the way, is wearing a baby, 2 months old, right, Jenny?
That's right.
Yeah, she's in the carrier right now. And boy, I could go on and on about my amazement about this, but I don't need to at the moment. So hi, Scarlett. Glad you're having a good nap. And let me give a little background on you, Jenny. So you're from Seattle and you moved to California for college. Then you moved to Petaluma and you worked in, for some time, you worked in international development in education. You're now a mother of three. And you co-founded Griffo Distillery, which is a distillery of spirits. You run the business. Your physicist husband does the distilling. It's a very charming, charming deal. And for those who are interested in looking up Griffo Distillery, they create really high quality products. And it's griffodistillery.com. So that's a little background on Jenny. And I just want to share, as I always do, a little on how we met. So Jenny and I, you and I met when our little ones, who are now 5 and a half, were even smaller. They were a year or so. And we met in a mothering group and it was an instant draw. I was instantly drawn to your vibrancy and your mothering power, the way that you engaged in a strong, loving way with Henry. And why I wanted to interview, we've been friends since then. And I wanted to interview because of the topic specifically. This is a conversation on privilege, and because you have a really unique way of combining your intellect, your mental intellect, with your heart strength and clarity and the love that you feel as a human being. And that's a beautiful combination. And on the topic of privilege, it's especially exciting. So again, Jenny, welcome to this interview.
Thanks, Jess. I'm excited to talk about this stuff with you.
Awesome. So let's give listeners a quick glimpse into your life to start. Just what does an average week look like for you?
Well, I think that anyone who's a parent knows that there's no such thing as an average life with a two-month-old, right? but, you know, overall, my life looks like a constant juggle of running the business and taking care of kids and trying to find space to be healthy and be outside and read and cook and work and put my phone down. Mm-hmm. All of those things are what the juggle is for me. And there's zero perfection in my world, but lots of heart and lots of doing our best every day to juggle it all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I hear humility and, you know, I've watched you. It's a lot that you juggle and you do it well. So thanks for sharing that glimpse into your life. So to move a little into the topic of privilege, I'll share kind of what kicked this up for you and I specifically, not for you, but for you and I and why we're coming to this conversation. So to the listeners, Jenny and I were driving to Oakland one day because, Jenny, you were presenting to the Oakland City Council and you had a 3-week-old baby and you wanted somebody with you who could help you out with a baby if you needed it. However, And it was an amazing honor to be with you. However, you ended up perfectly fine with Scarlett in your carrier up presenting to city council. And I was floored. It was an incredible day for me. And yet, what sparked the privilege piece was, so we were driving and we just started talking about privilege. And I shared with you that you know me well enough to know I come from a lot of my core is based in spiritual perspectives. So I have a spiritual perspective on privilege that is different from, you know, anything you hear on the news or things like that. And so I haven't really engaged up until then in conversations about privilege that I found rewarding, that I found enlightening. And that day with you, the story changed because you were able to share with me in a way that felt clarifying. And I was ready to step into embracing this really important topic in a more practical way so that I could be in touch more with people who have the conversation more on a, you know, on a practical level rather than more on a spiritual level. So I was really gifted by that time with you. And that's where we are today. So you had some really clear, thoughtful insights about privilege. And I want to note, as you are the first to admit, you're not an expert on privilege. You're just a thoughtful person who has ideas and they're valuable. So that's the story there. So just to start, Jenny, you know, we've heard a lot about privilege referring to skin color or how much money somebody has, but there's more. And I didn't realize that before you and I were talking, really. Can you give a sense of the landscape of what different kinds of privilege there are?
Absolutely. And, you know, before I jump in, Jess, I want to just tack on to what you said about how I'm not an expert here. Yeah. And just, you know, share that I believe that one of the most important things that we can do right now, especially in like the white community, is to be really humble about making mistakes. And so I just want to be upfront with everyone that I'm probably going to make a mistake in this conversation, and that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with being called out. And that's part of my work right now, is being comfortable with being wrong or having more to learn. So mm-hmm. I think all this conversation really shares is where my thinking is at, and my hope is to always be pushing that forward and be doing even better. So mm-hmm. I'm open to ideas and comments from anyone listening. And I appreciate everyone knowing that I'm really doing my best to explore these issues that I think are so important to making our world healthier. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Excellent. It's touchy and you're okay with feedback, and that's beautiful. So thank you for sharing that.
Okay, so, you know, I think that with privilege, what I've been really wakening up to see in the last maybe 5-6 years, I think the Black Lives Matter movement has really been powerful for me in pushing my own thinking forward around privilege and really coming to terms with the different power structures that I benefit from, and that also simultaneously make me responsible for changing. Mm. So the big power, there's big power structures, right? And then there's little power structures. And there's like little ways that you and I benefit in society or are oppressed in society, right? Mm. But the big ones right now, and I'm probably going to miss one, my apologies. The big ones right now are race, gender, right? There's the patriarchy, right? And there's rampant racism in our country, right? There is sexism, so LGBTQ spectrum issues. There's able body and disabled, and on and on. Mm-hmm. And then there's also smaller ones, Jess, that, like, you know my body type. I'm tall and thin, right? Mm-hmm. In our society, that's a privilege. I didn't make myself this way. I didn't do anything to be this way, but I am. And in our society, I benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So there's all these micro ones, and then there's these macro ones that are all important to see.
Yeah, great. Okay, so it's helpful to hear some of those, you call them the smaller, little power structures. So body yeah. type, whoever would have thought that was a privilege, but yeah, it is. And then where would you put the financial piece in there? How do you...
That's big. Yeah, that's definitely a macro, a macro benefit, because being able to go to college, being able to access different aspects of society, they're all huge. Mm-hmm. They're all huge privileges.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, so a bit of a scan of the landscape. So big ones: financial, race, gender, sexism, being able-bodied or disabled, body type stuff. So lots of scanning, just kind of the top layer. And so looking at our time, right? We're living in a crazy time on this planet. Lots of pain, lots of just wow, chaos, and lots of beauty. And to look at the time we're living at on this planet, you know, what do you notice? What do you see happening in the realm of privilege? What's its role?
I hope that what I notice is actually what's happening, you know, and it's, you know, we, on this big scale, we see all of this hatred on the national platform, right? And on the local platform, you know, hate crimes are on a rise right now. Even in our little town. But what I feel is a kind of a rising up out of the earth and into our consciousness, this awareness of how we've been divided and separated. And I feel this energy around acknowledging it and looking at it and seeing it, so that we can hopefully start moving beyond these really artificial, superficial ways of separating each other.
Yeah. So an energy of you talk about the awareness of how we've been divided and separated. And what you're seeing actually is, in the presence of this unfortunate reality of being divided and separated, you're actually seeing an awareness rise up.
Yeah, I think this is probably true for so many times that our consciousness have changed. It's really painful, and it's not, talking about privilege is not a comfortable topic for almost anyone, I think. And so there's a lot of work that we need to do right now in order to get on the other side of this. And a lot of us, including myself, have a lot of kind of painful self-investigation to do around how we are privileged in this society, and taking that a step further, seeing that, you know, privilege is just the flip side of oppression, right? So where there's privilege, there's oppression. There's someone who doesn't get my privilege, and my privilege only exists because there's the flip side of it, right? Mm. Otherwise it would just be called being human, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's this real, this makes my gut just clench up and hurt. There's this real pain in acknowledging that I am a part of the oppression as well, you know, and that makes me responsible for not sitting back and enjoying my privilege, but leaning forward and engaging in the discussion and seeing what I can do about shifting these power dynamics that I benefit from.
Yeah. So you brought in the pain. You're there, Jenny, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. You brought in the feeling of the pain that comes when we, empathy really, when we, it's empathy and it's other things, but just the ouch that exists, yeah, when we recognize what we've been part of. And actually, here goes my heart, really, just even naming that really brings up some heavy-hearted sadness.
I can't even say it without tears in my eyes, really. You know, like, it feels really bad to be a part of something that hurts people, you know, it really, and there's this, like, I noticed this around this conversation of privilege, of there's this initial, and it makes so much sense, and I was there too. There's this initial, like, recalling of, like, no, that's not me. You know, I'm a kind, loving person. I spend every day trying to be good, you know? And so there's this fear in the word privilege and what it means, you know, like, I had it hard, you know, like, I had to make it on my own. And, like, all those things are so true, you know, but it doesn't get rid of your privilege, unfortunately, you know?
No. And so let's take a step to the side real quick, just to clarify our definition on privilege. If you had to define it, what would you say privilege is? What's privilege?
I would say that it's something, let's see, something that you benefit from that others don't.
Uh-huh. So like external circumstances, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, if you could, yes. I mean, as long as you're going to consider your body an external circumstance, right? It's not your soul, right? It's this thing that you were born into that you didn't choose, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, going back, stepping back into what you were saying about, oh gosh, it's so rich. You didn't say responsibility, the pain we feel when we recognize we've been part of the oppression. And then that fear that steps in that says, wait a minute, I didn't have slaves.
Right.
I didn't choose to have a father who worked really hard since he was 8 years old to get his family out of poverty, who now has money and has shared it with me.
Yep.
I didn't. So why do I, you know, there's this defensiveness. And
absolutely.
I want to hear, you know, I want to hear this because I think a lot of people from you, I think a lot of people sit in that camp. I'm a good person. I just do my best and that's all I do. And that's wonderful. I know some people who do beautiful being humans, being kind, honest, considerate. And yet I'm thinking of one person who really just, no, sorry, I don't owe anybody an apology. It's not my thing. I didn't have to do with that.
Right.
What do you say to that? That's not the perspective you have. Why not? You know what I mean?
Well, I would say that I'm trying to be courageous, you know, and I think that acknowledging your privilege, you know, we could have the same conversation about racism, right? Acknowledging your privilege is so scary. And I think it feels like you're giving up part of your success, you know, that you're saying that I didn't just get here to this place on my own, you know, that there were highways that were paved before me that my car traveled down, you know? And I think there's a real idea in our society about the more you've done it yourself, the better you are, the more powerful you are, you know? And we all know that that's so untrue, that all of us are the accumulation of all of our experiences and all the people in our lives and all the roads that have been paved before us. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking of, you know, a person who feels male, female, whatever race or anything this person is, if a person feels like, let's say it's a white male, mm-hmm. and this person feels like, you know, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to, you know, speaking to this, what do we need to do? What is there an apology that everyone needs to make for every privilege we have? What do you advise?
Definitely not. I don't think anyone needs to apologize for their privilege. I don't think, although I'm open to different perspectives. What I do think we need to do is, I'd say two things. One, or maybe it's the one thing, just a bigger picture, is I think we need to decenter our perspective. So, you know, we tend to walk around this world with this, you know, as I'm going to speak from a white female, cis heterosexual woman, you know, I see my type of relationship and my body and my face reflected everywhere, you know? And so it's really easy to forget that there are really different perspectives. And so I feel like the main thing that we need to do right now is to slow down in our own minds, right? And take ourselves out of our own perspective. So start listening way more than we speak, you know, like it's almost like the more privileges you have, mm-hmm. the more you need to listen, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing we need to do. And I think the second thing we need to do is to make space, to fight for space for people that don't have those privileges and put them up instead of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So find ways to elevate people that don't have privilege and let their voices tell us what their experience is, first to listen, and then what they need and what they want. within this world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you're not suggesting that people need to apologize for their privilege necessarily. So you're open to that, but slow down, start listening more than we speak, decenter our perspective, yeah. as you said, and then make space for people who don't have those privileges, find ways to elevate people who have less privilege. So how does that look? You know, because I think I've been in a place before where I've been like, hey, I'm a really loving person and I don't have to do anything about this. And then one day my heart crossed a barrier and I suddenly felt more of the pain of the mothers whose black children are getting killed by police officers. I've suddenly felt more of the pain of somebody walking around in a wheelchair who's just tired of all the attention you get when you walk around, when you stroll around in a wheelchair. Yeah. And when that pain happened for me, I felt like apologizing, not for my privilege, but for the pain that comes with external circumstances being uneven, for the pain involved, not because I did it, but because, you know, and Jenny, your heart is so big and strong, so I know you'll get this. It's like if I'm looking at a, you know, I have brown skin, but I'm kind of seen as whiter. So, you know, having more white. So, whatever. So if I'm looking at a black woman, a mother who's just lost her child, and I tell her how sorry I am, if she's open to hearing it, if her heart's open in its shattered, broken state, there's connection.
Absolutely. And there's no reason why anyone shouldn't do that. Mm. I think I was being careful with the apologizing because it can be so triggering for people. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. it can be this shutdown of emotions of like, I don't owe anyone an apology. I'm not going to say sorry. And I think you're totally right that if we can make it a genuine, open-hearted apology, that's the biggest, most important first step, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
but I guess I was thinking that if we focus on listening, you know, uh-huh. then you had listened before you were able to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And so it would hopefully perhaps come up during that process of really listening and really making their perspectives center of the conversation, not our perspective on racism or sexism or transphobia or any of those things, but listening to that community. And then you're right, our heart does crack open, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Powerful stuff. So I want to bring in an example of a situation that happened last week. So you and I are in a local parenting group online. It's a natural parenting group. So, you know, talking about wearing babies in carriers and and how do I breastfeed longer and what should I feed my kid that's healthy and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I had posted something asking for insight from other mothers. How would you have handled this situation? And I got some insight that was delivered in a way that didn't feel good. And I got some insight that was delivered in a way that did feel good, you know, supportive. In any case, as part of this thread, an eruption happened around privilege. And that happens, right? This is a power charged conversation.
Absolutely.
And what had happened was a woman who is younger, so a younger mom, you know, in her 20s somewhere, who actually has 6 children. She's had a rough time and she ended up with more kids, I think, than she planned for. She ended up feeling attacked and called privileged. And she kept saying in her comments, what privilege to this other woman? What privilege are you referring to? And I don't think the woman really answered her question. I'm not sure, but that doesn't really matter. It's just that it came up and it was charged and so much so that this woman who had been homeless with a number of children, several of her children, ended up leaving the group. She didn't feel it was safe. and didn't feel it was supportive, and she didn't want to be there anymore. And I became, I will say, livid. Like, suddenly I had knives in both of my hands, not physically, not really, but I felt like I had knives in both of my hands, and I had nothing personal. There's nothing personal. It's just where I am about anyone who said anything. It's anger that we actually could have a mothering group where a woman who'd been homeless with six children left because she felt poorly treated about being privileged. Like, wow, this is complex, right? This is complex stuff. But what are the takeaways that you have from that, you know, situation about some, anything? Do you have anything that, I don't even know.
There's so much within that.
Yeah.
We could make a whole conversation just on that. But, you know, I got to say that what comes up for me is this problem that the liberal community, the liberal progressive community has of this word privilege and of being open to their very own ideas. You know, theoretically being liberal and progressive means that we want to do our best for those who have less, and we want to respect people of all kinds, right? Mm-hmm. But what just happened there was these liberal progressive moms, you know, didn't slow down, right? And decenter their perspective, right? Like we were talking about earlier. And listen to this mom who has a whole load of pain that none of us have any insight into. And so instead of listening to her and saying, wow, tell me more, like about your experience, about who you are, I want to learn more. It was in the liberal progressive spinny mind head, you know? And I come from Seattle, so I feel like I'm an expert in this. And Jessica Marin, you're an expert as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different layers of privilege within that conversation, and I'm not sure exactly how many I have to publicly share, you know? I don't want to overshare about her and her story.
No.
But it's hard to see them, and it's hard to be called out on privilege. It's hard to do the privilege conversation with love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it can really be triggering. So I very much appreciate your strong emphasis on slow down, listen. Those are two big things that you keep saying, and it's crucial. It's crucial if we're going to get through with less blood.
Right. And just to move forward more quickly, right? I mean, I think that in both of our marriages, we probably have, I mean, I think all marriages are this way where, you know, anytime that I'm getting triggered by my husband, in the rare, beautiful instance where I'm able to not take it, you know, not go into my own little painful defensive world, the quicker I'm able to go, honey, okay, I want to hear you. What's going on? The quicker we move through it too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's there's a saying that curiosity is the gateway through conflict.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can't be genuinely curious if you're sped up and defensive. It's just, that's not where it comes from. So, yeah. And I just want to share for the sake of, you know, completion on this piece that another mom with probably more privilege than the one who had felt really harshly treated, she really stood up for her, and she was angry, and she got in there and she stood up and she said, you know? And so there was standing up happening, for this woman, but yeah, it's a complex situation. And it made me for the first time, thanks in part to your influence on my insights and my perspectives on privilege, it made me want to actually go further and make a public statement, which I did on this. And, you know, again, I didn't go much into the story about privilege, but it was just a wow, wow, wow. How can we raise the bar on how we're showing up? And again, your piece about slowing down is such a big deal, because especially with social media, when we've got these keyboards, it's like, I'm going to spew out my stuff, and it's, man, it can hurt.
Yep.
So, Jenny, what if you just were to, you know, fresh from your mind, your heart, what do you think of as being a healthy relationship to privilege? How can people be more aware of their privileges and move into responsible action in their own lives?
you know, Jess, I love what you had just said about curiosity. And I think it's the same thing here. You know, I think that that's just the first step of like, gosh, you know, how am I privileged? You know, from an open-hearted, curious place, just trying to look at your own, like taking apart your own identity and your own life story and seeing, now if someone didn't have that and had everything else the same as me, would their world have been easier or harder? You know? Because acknowledging privilege and your privilege doesn't mean not acknowledging your pain and how life has been hard for you. You know, we can be oppressed and privileged at the same time. In fact, I think probably every human is, you know. So I think that curious piece is maybe at the center of it. And then I think especially in our kind of more white focused society, parts of society, which our progressive mothering group, you know, definitely is. And I so appreciate your call out in particular, because I think it begins to do what I think the work really is, which is taking those people that are oppressed and that don't have our privileges and that are perhaps marginalized and giving their voices the center, right? So, and when we can, paying for it too, you know, paying for the, giving them compensation for their time and for their energy and not just expecting them to constantly be giving of their own oppression, right? And I really think that there's starting to be more conversations and I'm starting to see this happen more and more. And I certainly need to be more active in bringing those voices into our world more. Because it helps to flip everything around. That's the listening. Then there's the growing. And then there's all of the work we have to do to dismantle these crazy power structures, you know, that just hold us back from all of our awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. Asking, how am I privileged? Taking apart your own identity, which, gosh, that's a rich exercise right there. You know, take away everybody else in the world. Just, wow, how cool to really break down your life story. You know, why don't we, I'd like that to be a class in elementary school.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh my gosh. Mapping it out.
All the different, how complex we are as people, right? And how complex our stories are. Like a little tidbit into me is that I grew up with a mom who was an elementary music teacher and who couldn't pay the bills. And we, every end of every month, we didn't have food. And I'm a really great chef. When I don't have a planned meal, I can go into any kitchen and make any kind of meal out of the scraps that they have. Because of that, right? But my dad is an incredibly successful man, but I didn't live with him. So there was always this like money from my dad that he had that I knew was like a safety net. I could never really fall in life. But I grew up with this lack of resources and lack of stability within my home, you know? And so right there, there's privilege and oppression, right? Within one little moment in my life.
So rich. And I really feel like you're right. Everyone's got privilege and oppression. And sometimes what we do is we paint people who, you know, just have one underprivileged trait as, oh, they're in the dark. They're in the dumps. They're, when actually the richness of each soul is so brilliant that we all have incredible privilege in certain ways. If we just, Jenny, quoting Jenny, slow down and listen.
Yeah. One more thing, Jess, is I think just stepping into the pain, you know, there's, and tears come to my eyes when I say that, because there's so much pain and such a long story of pain in our country that the important work, the really, really important work comes when we start stepping into that discomfort and to start stepping into the pain that we didn't actively cause, but, or in some cases, perhaps we did actively cause, you know, but mostly it's this passive benefiting from the pain of others that hurts my heart to acknowledge. But that's where the real change starts, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's where empathy can embrace us. We can step into that. And really, I want to, you know, want to share that for somebody who feels like, I don't need to do anything about this. I'm a good person and that's all I need to be. You know, I don't need to reflect on my privilege much. I don't need to do anything for people who are less privileged or anything like that. for me, as I've sat with that, and I haven't had a, you know, Jess Jenny conversation about this with you, but I'd love to dive in more at some point because I love talking with you. What I've noticed is that, and this is again just my perspective, the heart hasn't leapt over. The mind is doing all, the brain, the head and the brain and the head is doing all the work, dissecting Absolutely. And rationalizing. The heart hasn't stepped in and recognized, and here comes a spirit piece, we aren't separate. The pain felt by people in countries that are at war right now, probably with us, with our country, isn't separate from my pain. I can actually feel that if I put my attention on it. So then it becomes my pain. And when I can open up enough to accept that, suddenly I don't give a whatever. I don't want to swear on my interview. what I have to apologize about, I'll apologize about any of the pain in the world. Because guess what? It's horrible to be in pain. And my heart is that willing. But I feel like when people aren't willing, there's a leap that hasn't been taken. And it's, as you say, it's being willing to step into the pain and look at it. Because yep. if you were in other shoes, if I was in the shoes of a woman with six children who's being supported by a homeless shelter, oh man, I sure would hope that women with homes and one child, less of a load on my lap, would stand up for me.
Yep. And Jess, I think that those people who haven't yet stepped into this, into owning their own privilege, I think that a helpful thing to acknowledge is that at the root of, I believe that at the root of all the pain in the world is this privileged conversation that we're not going to, for instance, you know, you've heard about the intersectional movement of where these different privileges meet each other. Within a human is called intersectional. And, sorry, Scarlett's waking up.
Hi, Scarlett.
But where these different, you know, privileges or oppressions meet is the intersection in our identities. And you can't separate all your privileges from your oppressions, and you can't piece those apart. Like a Black disabled woman can't just focus on being Black or being disabled or being woman in this society. It's all together. And so we're not going to change this system if we don't raise everybody up at the same time. If we don't look at all of those oppressions and just dismantle the system. And I mean, that's our best chance, I think, at peace, right? Is taking all of this apart.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we're not going to do it all in one day. And no one person needs to do it all or even anything more than that one person has the capacity for. But if we even each stepped up, you know, 10% more to recognize our privilege and take responsibility for showing love to those who are less privileged, boy, it would make a huge difference.
100%. That's it right there, Jess.
Yeah. So let's close with just one more question for you, Jenny. What's your vision for a world where privilege is lived out in a healthy way? What would that look like for you?
You know, I've thought a lot about this question, and I think that what I like about your question, Jess, is it isn't saying where there is no privilege, right? Because I don't think that is a part of being the messiness of being human. It's probably always going to be a part of us. But I would hope for a world where where it's not so triggering to acknowledge where there's privilege. You know, I would imagine over time privilege shifts as what becomes acceptable in society shifts, right? So I do hope that over time these privileges become less pronounced and they're less stifling to those who are on the flip side of the oppression, right? So I hope that everything becomes smaller, you know, and I hope that we're able to talk about them and acknowledge them more than we're currently able to do.
Beautiful. Yeah, healthier relationship to it, more acknowledged, more aware, not so triggering, and the privileges become less pronounced. So you're definitely envisioning a world where there is less uneven ground. There's more you know, for example, more acceptance and appreciation for people with different skin color or amounts of money or all of those things.
Absolutely. And, you know, now that I step back from it for a second and hear you say it, it seems pretty obvious to me that they're all so interconnected. You know, the more you shine the light on something, the less big and dark and scary it is. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps the more that we are comfortable talking about privilege and oppression and seeing them around us and in us, then we're able to be a part of those systems more naturally to dismantle all of that.
Yeah, and, you know, on that note, you know, I want to acknowledge that entering conflict is not comfortable. It No. doesn't feel good, right? It wakes us up, feels like fire's under our feet or something, or, you know, in our bellies. But at the end of the day, after Yeah. you've engaged in it, you've stretched your muscles in being able to relate to other human beings. And, you know, on that note, I want to thank you for being one of my You're one of my dear, dear, dear friends, and you and I have been through some conflict years ago about a, you know, an issue, a parenting issue that we just were on real different sides. And you were so passionate about yours, and I was so passionate about mine, and we still are in that camp. And somehow we chose to step in, engage, eventually soften our hearts, open up, be willing to really just not feel a charge about it anymore. And that has made our friendship so special to me, and it has given me a place in life where I really can reflect to. Oh, the bunny. Bunny.
Oh, you know, and perhaps the best friendships are ones where you don't all have to be the same, you know, and yeah. I really appreciate that. That with us, there's no expectation that we're going to agree on something, but an interest in the other person's perspective on it.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks so much for being with us here today. For those of you who would like to check out Jenny and Mike Griffo's work with Griffo Distillery, you can go to griffodistillery.com. I know, quirky shift coming from this conversation about privilege to talk about gin and whiskey, but hey, it can be helpful. So thank you all so much for being with us here today and listening in on this conversation with one of the beautiful friends life has gifted me with, Jenny Griffo. Jenny, I really appreciate your incredible mind and heart and the way that you show up to be part of life. I admire you greatly.
Thanks, Jess. It was really fun.
Yeah. And to listeners, so glad you came. Come back next month and listen to what we've got for you. And if you found this useful today, please show love by sharing it with somebody who might be sitting at a desk all day or commuting long hours in a car or on the train, and they could use an uplift or some different insights on the privilege conversation. So you can check out our website, my blog at leaningintolight.com. And on the conversations page, you can find this one and many other conversations that we share with you. We're not on social media. So sign up for our newsletter, which gets sent out once a month if you'd like to be in touch. Thanks again, and have a beautiful day.